share briefly tonight. And as I got the opportunity and knew it was going to be a business meeting night, I began to look. It's like, what's a good business meeting message? And I don't know if you have just gone through the Bible looking for business meeting passages. There are a couple of them, actually. But there's not a whole lot about, here's a devotional thought on, Robert's Rules of Order and those kind of things. So I began to look like, well, what's the purpose of it? So if you have your copy of Scripture, and I hope you do, because every time you come to the Lord's house, you should expect to need it. And if you ever get to a point where you don't need it, you need to call us on that. But Colossians chapter 4, and I've been told I have just a few minutes, so I've just selected half a verse. So we're going to look at the last half of Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And tonight, an interesting fact, this is a side note, I don't know if you're aware, we've done a very good job, and Brother Don has led us well, to minimize how we conduct business. We only have to have one a year. But legally, we are required to do that. Did you know that? As a nonprofit organization, my understanding of law, we legally have to do this tonight. So we don't really have a choice, but we've got to do it. And so I think if we could get away with doing it every third year, we might. But, you know, our government and our nation requires us to have a business meeting once a year. So we've done everything we can. So you need to bear with us. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 17 for just a few minutes. Paul is concluding this letter he's written to the church at Colossae. And he, through this entire book, has been exalting, lifting up Christ, showing that he is preeminent and superior to all. He is above all. He is to be our goal, everything we look toward. We need to live and to be alive in Christ. And as he comes, before he writes the very last phrase, the last thing he says, "See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Well, let's just break it apart briefly. See that. What does it mean to see that? To do that. This is a direct instruction, meaning you better do it. It's like your mom, if your mom was going to say, "See that when I get back from the store, your room is clean." You know what that means, correct? When she gets back, what? Your room better be clean. The Lord is saying, see that. So it's a warning, it's a command, it's a directive, it's saying, make sure. Do all you can to have this done. Make sure you aren't negligent in this duty. See that you do that. Focus on it. Look, pay attention that you do what I'm telling you to do. You got it? See that. You understand what see that means? It means you got to do it. Don't forget it. Don't neglect it. Well, then he says, see that you. Who is the you? Well, specifically in this passage, he's talking to Archippus, but I think it could be directed at us as well. See that you, those who have trusted in Christ, those who have put their faith in him, who are believing in him, have trusted him, say he is the highest of all goals and we look to him for everything. You. So see that you. Don't, it's not see that they. It's not see that the group. Not see that the church. Not see that the pastors are the leader. See that you. Directive. Specific. Individual. Second person singular. You. See that you. Do what? Fulfill. Well, we always hear this word, fulfill. We've used it. You've probably used it. We sing about it and we talk about it. What does it mean? Well, I did a quick Google search this afternoon. You can do this. And there comes up with two good definitions of the word fulfill. The first one is to bring to completion or reality, to achieve or realize. To fulfill means, goes back to see that. They're referencing each other here in this phrase. Make sure that you get it done. See that you fulfill it. And the second definition that Google quickly provided for me this afternoon was that carry out a task as required. Now listen to these two: pledged or expected. Did you get that? So Paul is saying to him, and I think we can hear this message from Christ to us, see that you fulfill your ministry. See that you fulfill this task. How I expect you to do it. Fulfill it in the way Christ is looking for us, because he's saying, see that it's done. It's like that parent saying to their child who wants the room clean, see that your room's clean. We're being told, see that you do this as I expect you to do this. There's an idea here of make sure that you don't let it not get done. I know double negatives are improper in English, but sometimes they're better. Don't let it not happen. You fulfill it. You keep the promise. You do it the way it's expected you to do it. Not only that, the way you've pledged to do it. Because when we commit to Christ, what are we doing? We're committing to live for him, to give it all for him. So fulfill it. And then he says, so see that, look, make sure that you complete this task as required and as you pledge and as I expect the ministry you have received. It's an important thing. He doesn't say here, fulfill your ministry. He says, the ministry. It's a big difference there. It's not your ministry. It's not my ministry. It's the ministry. It's his ministry. It's his calling. It is something that he, and as he goes on to say, that you have received. It's not something you got, earned, appeared in the right place for. You have just received it, which means he has given it. He has given the ministry, not your ministry, not my ministry, the ministry to you. Now your job is to steward that ministry. Fulfill the ministry that you have received. It's ours. What is this ministry? You see, many times we think, well, the ministry, that's me going to church, singing in the choir, me teaching a class. We're here on business meeting night. It's giving my offering. It's serving on a team. That is not the ministry. We've got these handy-dandy little books, and they're great tools. I eat this kind of stuff up. One of my seminary classes, we were talking about business meetings and all that stuff, and the professor was back there in a room full of pastors and church leaders, and he said, now how many of you guys just really love business meetings? I, over on their side, kind of sheepishly, I nerd out on this kind of stuff. I like it. I'm weird, I know. Nobody just, oh, I'd love to go to a business meeting. I kind of enjoy them, but that's beside the point. This is not just a task because we do it on this Wednesday night every year. This is not the ministry. This budget is not the ministry. These life group teachers and classes, they are not the ministry. The ministry teams, that is not the ministry. Having meetings is not the ministry. The ministry of the church is to go and make disciples, to share the gospel, to share our faith. This is the means to the end. That ministry team, if you're called to serve on it, is not your ministry. That's one way you're accomplishing your ministry. This budget is not our ministry just to give money to say we've met the budget. It is the financial means to support the ministry we have been given, we have received, and we have been called to steward. This isn't it. This is the tool. This is a tool. This is one of the big tools, and where we're going to say, this is where we think we're going next year. We as a ministry are moving forward. This is what we need to do, what we think God has called us to do. But this is not the ministry, because we could come to the end of 2018. The budget could have a surplus. There could be lots of money in the bank. There could be lessons that have been taught every week in a class. There could be every quarter, every ministry team could have met as we want them to, and no ministry could have been done. Because if no lives were changed, if no souls were saved, if the gospel was never shared, the ministry was not fulfilled. So see that you fulfill the ministry that you have been given, that you have received. And he closes with, in the Lord. He clarifies again, who's this for? He said, you've received it in the Lord. When you came to Christ, you were in Christ. You trusted him for salvation. You committed your life to him. You trusted his sacrifice for your forgiveness of your sins. You were placed in Christ. And when you were placed in Christ, you were given the ministry in him. In the Lord. It's not mine. I'm not given ministry in the church. I'm not given ministry because I'm in Conway. I'm given the ministry because I am in the Lord, because Christ has changed my life, because he has put this burden on me, because I know how he can change my life, how you know how he can change your life. We have this ministry because we are in Christ. So many times I think my ministry is coming to the office, teaching my life group class, preaching occasionally, singing. This is not the ministry. Necessary part of the ministry. We need it. You need it. You need to be here faithful to your church. You need to support it financially. You need to give. You need to be faithful to the team where you've been called to serve and you've agreed to serve. You need to be faithful to the things the church is doing. Why? Because those are the things we feel like God is leading us to do to accomplish the ministry of reaching souls, reaching people, changing lives. And it's not us changing it, but it's the gospel. Because we're in Christ, it is supposed to pour out through us to them so we can fulfill the ministry. So for us tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to sing a song of invitation, because that's what Baptists do at the conclusion of a service. And our pastor is going to give you an opportunity, if you need to go, to slip out during one of those verses. I don't like to use guilt. And I don't really like to publicly shame people. But if you're in the Lord, if you know Christ, we have a mandate to see that we fulfill this ministry we have received. How are you going to see that it's fulfilled if you don't even know what's going on? How are you going to be encouraged if you're not faithful to be here? How are you going to be ready to go and help accomplish this ministry and this mission if you're not part of it and you're not supporting it, saying, yes, I'm a part of that. Because see, this budget is not about you giving an offering, which you need to. We need you to. The ministry needs you to, because it takes money to do things. But God doesn't need your money. He's got plenty. But he wants you to be a part of the ministry. He wants you to have a hand in supporting the ministry you have received if you're in the Lord. Because if you've committed to Christ, you have a ministry. If you have committed to this church with membership and say, yes, I'm going to support, I'm going to do my best to support it, tonight's a very important night, because this is where we're laying out the plan of what we're going to do. How ministry is going to be worked, how it's going to be accomplished this next year, how the ministry is going to be supported. This is the plan. It can change. Things change mid-year. We may have twice as much money come June as we need in the budget. We may have to adjust our plans. That'd be a good problem. We may have twice as many life group classes this time next year. The ministry's going to change. The plans may change. But as of right now, this is the plan. We need you to get on board and get behind it. Because we need you to help us, and that you will see that you, not the pastors, not the staff, not the deacons, not the teachers, but that you fulfill the ministry. It's our calling. So in just a few moments, when we conduct our business, it's not just a ceremonial time or a rubber stamp or something we do just to fulfill our legal obligations to keep our 501c3 classification for tax purposes and for government recognition. This is us saying, God, I'm going to do my part to fulfill the ministry. I'm going to do it. I'm on the team. I'm with it. I'm going to support it. Because, God, when I get to heaven, what's the question we're all waiting to hear? Well, done. God, I'm going to do this year. Because it doesn't say, it may have been said here on the pulpit or I read it somewhere else week. I don't know, but it's a great line anyway. It doesn't say there in that passage, well planned, good and faithful servant. Well attended, good and faithful servant. Well sung, good and faithful servant. What does it say? Well done. Done requires doing. So my challenge for you tonight as we go into a time of business, are you going to do? Are you going to do your part to see that you fulfill the ministry? Not that the pastors have planned, not that the handout has listed, but that we have received in the Lord. I invite you to stand. Brother Don will come. We'll be here in the altar. If someone needs to commit and say, Lord, maybe I haven't been as faithful to this church, or I have not done my part to see that I fulfilled the ministry. And you just want to come spend some time in the altar, we'll let you do that even on a Wednesday night. Say, God, I'm in. I'm not going to quit until the ministry is accomplished, till the task is finished, till we're done, until when I reach you and I'm going to hear you say, well done, because I'm going to be full up of doing while I'm here. So in 2018, we need to see that we, that you, that I, accomplish this task as it's been assigned and as he expects us to do. That he's given us because we're in Christ. Till he comes or I go meet him, I'm going to serve him. While we sing, if we can talk to you about trusting Christ as Savior so that you can receive this ministry, we'd love to do that. This would be a great night to join Central if you're not a member. Come join us as we're pledging what we're going to do for the Lord next year as he wills and as we seek to follow him. Or if you need to just come pray, we'd invite you to do that as well while we sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to him.